إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فيقول الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. أيها الأحبة في الله, in these verses which I have just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wakes us up from our deep sleep and slumber. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in these ayat of that reality which a great many of us very conveniently and very easily forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses those of us who believe in Him, Jalla Sha'nuh, who believe that we will be meeting Him one day, who believe in heaven and hell, who believe in the fact that there is such a thing as punishment in the grave and blessings in the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us saying, Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu taqullah. O you who have believed, fear Allah, keep your duty to Allah, fulfill your obligations towards Allah and abstain from the prohibitions of Allah. Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu taqullah. O you who have believed, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And let every soul, and let every soul look at what it has set forth for tomorrow. This is the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of, that reality which many of us are forgetting. The reality that tomorrow we will meet Allah Jalla wa'ala. We will stand before Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. So He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, what means, and let every soul look at what it has set forth, at what it has earned for tomorrow. Tomorrow, meaning the day of judgment, meaning that day when we will be raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we will stand before Him tabaraka wa ta'ala, barefooted, naked and uncircumcised, having no worldly gains with us whatsoever. Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu taqullaha wal tanzur. And let every soul look, let every soul ask itself, let every soul, But each and every one of us take stock of what we have done. What preparations have we made for that day when we will be raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And tomorrow is near indeed, a lot closer than we may think. When we speak of the hereafter, when we speak of the Day of Judgment, many will say, oh, that's so far away. We don't realize that it is a lot closer to us than we think. After all, which one of us knows how long he or she is going to live? And as every one of us should be aware, my hereafter and your hereafter begins with our death. So that day tomorrow is very near indeed. And again he says, Wattaqullah and fear Allah. Keep your duty to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding us and reminding us of that reality. Remember that reality. And the guidance is, then you have to work towards it. Take stock of yourself. Ask yourself, what have you done? You know very well that tomorrow you will be raised up before Allah Azza wa Jal. You also know very well that you will be asked about everything you did in this world. You and I both know this. We know that Allah Jalla wa Ala will begin by asking one of us about our salah. Did you pray in your life? Did you pray 5 times daily? So every one of us has to start in that way. After having believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have I proven my belief in Him by praying those 5 daily prayers? I need to take stock of myself. You know, also in these ayahs, which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of another reality. When He says, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Not equal are the companions of paradise, that is, the inhabitants of paradise, those who will be living in paradise. Not equal are the companions of paradise and the companions of the fire, that is, the hellfire. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The inhabitants of paradise, the companions of paradise, they are the ones who have attained success. They are the successful. As for the others, then they are losers. So this reality again, this other reality we are being reminded of is that tomorrow, every one of us will belong to one of two groups. فريقٌ في الجنة وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. One group is destined for paradise. One group will enter into paradise, and another group will enter into the blazing fire. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from it. And He reminds us that the inhabitants, the companions of paradise, they are the winners. They are the successful. They are the ones who have attained success. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. And how could they be equal? Is it possible that the companions of the fire are equal, or that you can compare them in any way, shape, or form to the companions of paradise, those who will be in paradise? As for the companions of paradise, did you know what the angels will say to them? وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And for you, O companions of paradise, is all that your hearts desire, every desire that you have, it will be fulfilled for you in paradise. Every wish that you have, every request that you have, you will be granted in paradise. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Can you imagine that? Is there anything beyond this? Is there any happiness beyond this? If you were guaranteed everything that you want, everything that you desire, if it was guaranteed to you, if you knew that you would receive it, can you imagine a happiness greater than that? In addition to that, أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون. In addition to having all our desires fulfilled in paradise, may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from the companions of paradise, then in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that it will be eternal bliss. Those who enter into paradise will receive all of these blessings, will have all this enjoyment, and it will last forever and ever. So can they be equal to the companions or the inhabitants of the hellfire? Those, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from being amongst them, those who will taste every form of punishment you could imagine and worse than what you could imagine in the hellfire. As for their drink, then it will be scalding water. Scalding water which will cause their intestines to be severed. Their intestines will be torn apart from the scalding water. وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ. Can the companions of paradise be compared to the companions of the hellfire? Those whose skin will be roasted, it will be burned. And after it has been burned, and they think that there is no more pain coming after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace their skins with new skins. So once again, they can taste the punishment over and over again. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. أَيُّهَا الْأَحِبَّةِ, there is no comparison between the two of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat is drawing our attention to these realities. The reality that we will be meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that meeting we will belong to either one of these two groups. There is no doubt in my mind that as long as we say that we are believers, we believe in Allah, and we believe in that meeting, then every one of us has this desire to be saved from the hellfire and to be entered into a Jannah or paradise. So how do we attain this? From the most important or the greatest means through which we can attain paradise and be saved from the hellfire is at-tawbah and al-amal as-salih. Repentance and working righteous deeds. As for repentance, at-tawbah, then it is a means of us having our sins forgiven and our wrongs and shortcomings overlooked. It is a means of having our slate clean, for every one of us knows that with us at all times are two angels, one on the right shoulder and one on the left. The angel on the right shoulder is recording all the good that we do, all our acts of obedience, all that which we do which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the angel on the left shoulder, then this angel is recording all that which we do which is displeasing to Allah, all those sins and all of those wrongs that we commit. This is being recorded by the angel on the left shoulder. The way to have that slate or that book clean, for everything in it to be wiped out, there is something which we call a tawbah, repentance. Repentance, which means for an individual with utmost humility and sincerity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because وَمَن يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Because none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive our sins. When you and I do wrong, there is no such thing in our deen, in our way of life, in our religion, in Al-Islam, there is no such thing as confession before an imam or a priest or anything of that nature. We don't need to tell anyone about our wrongs and our sins. We don't need to do that. As a matter of fact, we should not be doing so. Rather, we should be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begging of His forgiveness. This is what is required of us. At-tawbah ayyuhal ahibba. Understand what it is. It is really a means of having your slate cleansed. Once an individual does at-tawbah, once an individual sincerely repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no traces of that sin left whatsoever. Once Allah Jalla wa Ala accepts our repentance, then rest assured He will not hold us accountable for those wrongs that we did. So let every one of us now, after hearing those ayahs, will tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad, ask ourselves. I don't mean tonight. I don't mean after Salat al-Jumu'ah. I mean at this very moment. Quickly, go through what you have done. Especially what you've done over the last year. Think, how have you been behaving? Is your salah in order? Have you done things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could punish you for? You know that they were wrong and you have done them. And you know what? Every single one of us, as we ponder, as we look to what we have set forth for tomorrow, will realize that we have committed not one, but many wrongs. Yes, that's the reality. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّعَ. Every one of the children of Adam is prone to err. They are going to make mistakes. They will do wrong. They will sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. But the best of those who err, the best of those who sin, the best of those who commit wrong are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are thinking, and maybe one of you is saying, you know, I found myself over the last year that I'm far from Allah. I don't even pray regularly. Maybe there are those who realize that, wow, going to those clubs and those bars, I mean, how can I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that in my book of deeds? There are those who will say, wow, you know, I've been fighting a war against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm still living in debt where I'm paying interest. I have my house mortgage and I'm paying interest on the loan that I took for my car, and so on and so forth. To the extent that there may be some amongst us who, after all of this despair, and we say, wow, there's no hope for me. If it wasn't that I felt shy of those people who are around me, I would leave this masjid right now because I'm going to hell anyways. Why bother? But we say to each and every one of those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to us. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reminds us never to despair of His mercy. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, who have wronged themselves. By the way, when you and I sin, when you and I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have in reality wronged ourselves. Because as a result of these sins, we are the ones who are harmed. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not benefit in any way, shape or form from our obedience toward Him. When you and I worship Allah, we are not benefiting Allah, we are benefiting ourselves. Similarly, if we wrong, if we sin, if we transgress, then we are not harming Allah in any way, shape or form, but rather we are harming ourselves. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O my slaves who have wronged themselves. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. For indeed Allah forgives all sins. أيها الأحبة, there is no need for us to despair. Yes, we have wronged. Absolutely we have wrongs. But we need to be well aware of the fact that we have a Lord who is most forgiving. We have a Lord who accepts our repentance. We have a Lord who is very merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, we have a Lord. We have a Lord who becomes happy when we turn to Him in repentance. Although He doesn't need us, except that He is pleased when one of us repents to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives day and night. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam reminds us of this. For in that hadith Qudsi, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar, wa ana aghfiru al-dhunuba jami'a, fastaghfiruni aghfir lakum. Oh my slaves, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to me and speaking to you. And He says to us, oh my slaves, day and night you commit sins. This is your nature. This is the way I created you. إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Then comes the hope. But I forgive all sins. So, استغفروني. Seek my forgiveness, beg of my forgiveness, and I shall forgive you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people during the day as well as at night. Because there are those amongst us who may think that only if I stay up at night praying before Allah jalla wa ala do I have a chance of being forgiven. Indeed, that is the best of times, but it doesn't mean that in the daytime Allah does not forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ اللَّيْلِ حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches His hand out during the night. Listen carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches His hand out during the night. What I want you to understand is that I'm not going to change the word hand and say He extends His mercy during the night. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who knows Allah better than you and I know Allah, affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand. As a matter of fact, that He has two hands. And both of His hands are right. But none of us, even for a fraction of a second, should try to think, what does Allah's hand look like? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Because there is none like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any event, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches His hand out by night in a manner that befits His majesty tabaraka wa ta'ala in order for those who wronged during the day to repent to Him. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches His hand out during the day so that those who wronged during the night may repent to Him. And this will continue to happen until the sun rises from the west. And as we all know, this is from the major signs that the final hour is about to be established. And as we said just a while ago, perhaps the best of those times when we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is late at night when everybody else is sleeping, or when others are flipping the channels on the television looking for those programs that will cause even Shaitan, which will cause even the devil to be ashamed. Perhaps at night there are those who are surfing the net looking to satisfy some of their desires. And as I said, even Iblis, the head of the Shayateen, the head of the devils, would be tired to look at what they are looking at. The best time when people are sleeping or doing other such things is the last third of the night. when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven in a manner that befits His Majesty tabaraka wa ta'ala. We don't ask how, we don't know. And Allah jalla wa ala calls out to us, مَنْ بَالَّذِي يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is it that calls upon me so I can respond to him? مَنْ بَالَّذِي يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Who is that person who seeks my forgiveness so I can forgive him? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Who is that person who asks of me so I will grant him whatever he asks? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is most merciful. He tabaraka wa ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more forgiving than anything or anyone you could imagine. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam on one occasion was standing with a group of his companions, and they were looking at the prisoners of war, and amongst them was a woman who was frantically looking for a child of hers whom she had lost. Every time she saw a child, she would turn that child around, hoping that it would be her child, so she could once again hug him and give him that love that he deserves. But she wouldn't find her son. Until finally, when she turned one of those children around, she recognized him to be her own son, so she grabbed him. And she squeezed him tightly, she hugged him. And she started feeding him. Ya subhanAllah. Upon seeing this, you could just imagine, and every mother can imagine, how exciting that moment must be for her. How happy that woman must have been. After observing this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ فَازِبَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Can you imagine that this woman would now take her child and throw him into a fire? He said, of course not. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful towards his slaves than this woman is towards her child. أيها الأخيار, we then need to understand what the reality of at-tawbah is. Yes? We understand now and we realize that Allah Jalla wa'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. And we want to repent to Him, but we need to know what repentance means and how we should repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very briefly, when it comes to repentance, as we said, we repent only to Allah Jalla wa'ala, for He and He alone has the power and the authority and the ability to forgive us our sins and have our slates wiped clean. So what is the first thing? The first thing that you and I have to do is, of course, acknowledge our wrongs. Admit to what we have done. Not try to justify them. If you haven't been praying, don't say, well, you know, I'm busy and this. No. Acknowledge your wrong. Admit to the fact that I have done this deed which angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah in the Quran, His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the authentic sunnah, has informed us that it is wrong to listen to music, it is a sin. That it is unlawful for us to deal with interest. That it is not acceptable that we do not offer our 5 daily prayers or even delay our prayers for that matter. It is wrong that we do this. It is wrong that we... I have done it. I have to admit that what I have done is wrong. And then feel ashamed and feel remorse. Feel sad that I was so bold as to disobey my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom I am going to meet tomorrow. So begin by acknowledging that you have done something wrong. And feeling remorse. Feeling sad. Feeling bad that you have done such a wrong. The next thing is for us to abstain from that wrong. In other words, Allah forbid, perhaps there are those amongst us who have been frequenting the nightclubs. And then we say, I will do tawbah. I'll ask Allah to forgive me. Inna Allaha ghafoorur raheem. Because Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. But you have plans to go tonight. You have phoned your friends. Everything is in place. Part of your tawbah is yes, to feel remorse for what has passed. You did this. You have been going. You have been doing this wrong. But now you have to stop yourself from doing it again. So it doesn't matter what your friends are going to say. It doesn't matter how you will look before them. You have to stop that wrong. So don't go tonight. And any plans that you may have had for going later on at a later date, cancel those plans as well. Al-iqla'u 'ani dhanb. And this makes total sense. Can you imagine an alcoholic who wants to be cured of his alcoholism saying that, you know, I'm going to be cured. I can do it. I have the willpower. I have the strength to do it. But he keeps his shelves stocked with alcohol in his home. Does that make any sense? No, you have to now do what it takes to remove yourself from committing whatever that sin may be. Third, you then have to have that firm resolve, that intention, that sincere intention that inshallah, with the permission and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not go back to committing this sin. It's not enough that you feel badly. No. You also have to do everything it takes to stop committing that sin. And in your heart of hearts, you have to have that firm resolve and intention that inshallah I will not go back to committing this sin. Not to say you will not go back, we're human beings. It may be that one of us stops doing that wrong. And we have the intention never to go back to it, but subhanallah, something happens. We are tempted. Those bad companions come, whatever it may be, and we fall into that sin again. It doesn't mean that your tawbah, your repentance the first time was not accepted. Inshallah, it was accepted. But every time you commit a sin, even if it be exactly the same sin, never become immune to it. Always feel that this sin is a crime against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then have that sincere intention again not to return to it. It doesn't matter how many times after that you commit the sin. You have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds us accountable for every sin that we commit, while at the same time knowing that He subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgives us for sins that we have committed if we turn to Him with utmost sincerity. This is if the sin is between us and Allah jalla wa ala. If you haven't been praying, if you've been living off interest, if you've been doing it, something between you and Allah. But if it involves the rights of other human beings, then in addition to what we mentioned, then you have to make certain that you clean or clear the slate between you and that individual. So if you have deprived someone of their inheritance, if you have stolen from someone, etc., etc., if you have been backbiting against someone, then you need to settle that score, however it may be. By offering them what you deprive them of. And if they forgive you, alhamdulillah. If you've been backbiting, then to ask of their forgiveness, if that will not lead to a greater harm. And if that will lead to a greater harm, then where you were mentioning bad things about that person, now mention good things about that person. And beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, and so on and so forth. This is what at-tawbah means. I beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that each and every one of us will repent to Him jalla sha'nu immediately. And I beg of Him to accept our repentance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all our previous sins, those which we are aware of and those which we are not aware of either. And what better way for us to receive Ramadan? As we mentioned last week, Ramadan is around the corner. أيها الأحبة, Ramadan is around the corner. But, I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid, but who amongst us knows that we will live to see Ramadan? Go back and look at the obituaries from last year. You will see how many people were alive a couple weeks, even a couple days, even a couple hours before Ramadan came. But when Ramadan came, they were no longer around. Do you and I know if we're on that list or not? We don't know. So don't put all your eggs in one basket and say, inshallah, this Ramadan, I'm going to repent and I'll change my life without doing anything from now. Yes, have that intention that Ramadan will be a turning point for you, even though you've been saying it every year and it's never happened. Intend it again and be sincere about it. Make that resolution again. But as I said, don't do it while you continue to sin before Ramadan. Part of our preparations for Ramadan is to clean our slate. Let's enter into Ramadan while our sins, inshaAllah ta'ala, have been forgiven, so that we can use Ramadan to fill our book of good deeds. Ramadan, ayyuha al-ahibba, is coming. And as I said, this is the first step in preparing for Ramadan. And there are many more things that we can do in order to prepare ourselves for Ramadan. Those bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, or some of those things, bi-awnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will discuss the upcoming week. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أيها الأحبة before we part company this afternoon a reminder to myself and the rest of you of the great importance of a salah and the reason that I have to bring this reminder again and I will continue to bring it up over and over again is because of the fact that still many amongst us take the salah very lightly. A salah, the five daily prayers, the second pillar of Islam. How can we be negligent towards it? Then salah, about which we'll be asked first and foremost on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment. That salah, which is the distinguishing factor between us and the non-Muslims. As-salat, as-salat, ya ibadallah. Let's make certain that you and I are offering our five daily prayers, each and every one of them, and at their appointed times. Then let's make certain that our youth and our children, we are encouraging them and we are pushing them also to offer these salawats. It is a great fear that Ramadan will come and many will fast Ramadan, yet their fast will not be accepted. All they will earn from Ramadan or all that they will achieve during the month of Ramadan is that they will starve and that they will deprive themselves of intimacy with their spouses during the daytime. There are many that this will be their condition. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from that. And amongst those whose fasting will not be accepted, amongst those whose days and nights of Ramadan will all go in vain, are those who do not observe the five daily prayers. Start from now if you have been negligent, so that when Ramadan comes around, you will be fasting and praying, and inshallah ta'ala, you will benefit from Ramadan. But what about Ramadan coming, and then you don't eat from the morning until the night, while abstaining or while being negligent towards your prayers? The time of Dhuhr comes, and you say, I'll pray later on. And the time of Asr comes, and you still haven't prayed, Salatul Dhuhr. And you knew that you had to pray alone. It's not as though you forgot. If you forgot, that was another story. Intentionally delaying the salah until the time of that salah leaves. Or saying, well, you know, inshallah, I'll just pray Maghrib. Or after Maghrib, I'll pray all the ones that I missed. And so on and so forth. Sadly, this is the reality that we live. Many people, this is their condition. And there is a great fear. I mean, I will just fall short of saying with a certainty. But there's a great fear that those people, not a single one of their fasts will be accepted if this is their condition during the month of Ramadan. So once again, a reminder to myself and the rest of you that this is our lifeline. This is our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salah. So let us not be negligent towards it. Let us be very diligent in offering our salawat in the manner that they should be offered and at their prescribed times. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الكفرة والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ورافع الدرجات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم فرج هم المهمومين ونفس قرب المكروبين وقض الدين عن المدينين واشف اللهم مرضى المسلمين وارحم موتاهم أجمعين يا رحمن يا رحيم اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان اللهم ثبت أقدامهم واربط على قلوبهم وأنزل السكينة عليهم وانصرهم على عدوهم وعدوك يا عزيز يا قوي اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أصلح حال المسلمين اللهم أصلح حال المسلمين اللهم أصلح حال المسلمين اللهم ردنا إليك ردا جميلا وألف بين قلوبنا ووحد صفوفنا واجمع كلمتنا على الحق يا رب العالمين اللهم بارك لنا فيما بقي من شعبان وبلغنا اللهم رمضان اللهم بارك لنا فيما بقي من شعبان وبلغنا اللهم رمضان اللهم بارك لنا فيما بقي من شعبان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله